for this day, Lord. And though May the 12th was the day of organization, we also know we went and started in August and started all those months and knew nobody and nobody knew us. And Lord, again, we're just grateful for the blessings of life and 1,000+ people through the years you put with us together to do a work here for your glory. And Lord, I long for that day, and I believe it'll happen. The day when all this is over and God sets things in an end, accumulates everything together like he said, those in heaven who are in Christ, those in hell who are outside of Christ, has gone through all the preliminaries, and he kept his word through the years. I pray that day will come that many, if not all, I hope that many and all of us one day as members of this church will be able to go to the throne of grace in heaven and say thank you together for the blessings of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd just like to read a couple of verses. I'm not going to preach tonight. You say, preacher, you said that before. I'm going to keep my word tonight. And if I do start preaching and I get caught up in the spirit, just go ahead and leave. I'll be all right. Amen. But I want to read the latter part of Psalms 106 and the first few verses, verse 107. God's word says this in verse 48 of Psalm 106. He says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who's everlasting, or from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say amen, praise ye the Lord. Now, he said this as God is blessing Israel and brought them to a mighty place. And notice he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say amen, praise ye the Lord. And if there's ever been a verse that a church could say, it's the same thing, that we should be able to give him praise and say, blessed is he. Then I like Psalms 107, because you remember when the Bible was written, it was not written in chapters and verses. So verse 48 was not a verse 48. It was just a verse in the scripture, or a phrase in the scripture, or right into the scriptures. It went right on into chapter 107, as we know of, which it didn't have a chapter at that time. And said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And then he said, let the redeemed of the earth say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I wonder why God said that. Let the redeemer of the earth say so, who he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. One thing, he wants us to have the assurance that we have been redeemed, and we can have that assurance by speaking those words when he did save us. Another thing is, we find out that this is a way we know we have victory over the enemy, because we have the insight and the power to be able to stand and say, or be able to give a testimony of what the Lord has done for us. And then he said in the hymn in verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of all the distresses. And I wrote down a couple of comments this afternoon about what is it? And people ask this question a lot of times. What is it about when you really know what the Lord wants you to do? I tell you this, ladies, it's a complicated thing sometimes, because everything that God tries to impress us to do, it has to be filtered to the flesh. And this flesh is an awful thing of trying to hinder us to do anything for God. It'll help us do a lot of things as far as just doing ordinary to please and pacify the flesh. But to try to do something for God, it really hinders us. And you see people sometimes, you say, looks like they're just on cloud nine all the time. I tell you, there's a lot of things you'd be surprised going on behind the scene where God brings them through to get them to that error to give him honor and praise. And I think some of the atmosphere of sometimes here, I just love it. Sometimes we get going sometimes in songs and things like that, and it just seems like it moves everything out of the way, and I got a clear conscience of where God's at. And that's the time when he really does things for me. And when I say as far as the feeling and knowing his presence like that, the word of God helps me. That doesn't do anything about what I do for him in the flesh, but it lets me know his presence is there, and the word of God becomes more powerful to me. So the local church should be devoted to God and his eternal plan. Did you know that? You'd have to agree today, if you look at most religious churches, they're involved with everything except what God has God planned. And ladies and gentlemen, God has no reason to change his plan. I don't care if we are in the last days, in the latter part in our day. God has no reason to change his plan, because it's worked ever since he started. What happened in the Old Testament worked. What has happened in the New Testament 2,000 years is working. The only problem is Satan is trying to minimize it so it can't work, because unless it's presented, it will never do anything. It has to be presented, and God has a way to present that. God wants to speak to the human heart. Don't you believe that? I believe he does. That's the reason he uses words. That's the reason he used it and gave us this inspired book. It is speaking to the human heart through words in turn that he might check people on the way of life and realize this life is more than just being here a few years and going on into eternity somewhere and coming back like something else, an animal or a tree or a plant or something. We're in God's image. We're not made into something to be remade into something else later except to be a child of God. And he did that, and now the redemption part of this puts us in a position not only are we part of his creation, but we are actually children of God. But today we live in the time of human talent and computer capabilities. And because we have access to so much today, it's sad to say, but there is a famine when it comes to this book. And I think one of the reasons is this, because if you go knocking on many doors today and try to win people to the Lord, you'll find that people say, well, you make the Bible say anything you want to. Now, they used to say that years ago, but it's not like it is today. They really believe that. You can take somebody years ago and say, you make the Bible say anything you want to, and then you begin to talk to them and read the scripture to them and try to get them to show me what you mean making the Bible say anything you want to. And you find not long before the scripture will overcome their barrier. It'll overcome them. They'll find out what they're thinking at that time is not really right. They're only using it as a crutch not to listen to the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, like I know, this book really does something to us. That's all there is to it. The reading of it, that's reading it's hated. That's reading it's even tried to change as much as he does in our day. So we live in the time of human talent and computer capabilities. And it seems that God, now I don't know, maybe I'm just getting a little bit old and my mind's fogged a little bit. But it just seems to me today that God is finding less and less of those who feel the need of hearing his voice and heeding his voice. Now, a lot of folks don't mind hearing it. They say it, but did you know God never wants us to hear his voice without heeding it? It does no good just to hear it. Because unless we heed it, and heeding it means this, Lord, I want to know what you're saying to me. Help me understand what you're saying to me. And that's what the church is about. That's what we see the book of Acts is about in the transition period. God giving new revelation, not only as he did in the Old Testament, but he's given revelation, illumination of revelation, so in turn the message could be preached to the church and give the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit would take that message to the hearts to desire that message and take it to the heart to help them grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And I made a statement this morning. It's one thing, we all are getting older. You're older now than you were last week. Some of us show it more than others. But there's a difference in getting old and doing what the scripture says, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord is not just getting old. It is actually learning what we should be doing because we are older. Growing old should mean maturity. And that's what God wants us to do, growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And sometimes we hear so much due to the news media and so forth in our day that by the time we get to church to hear the Word of God, we're kind of geared to what we think the Word is, and we've heard it so much, we come dull to it. You know, God warns about dull of hearing his Word, and we need to understand that in our day. So it seems like that we find it that those who feel they're hearing his voice and heeding what he has to say has not been done. Did you see that today? Do you see in this life today there's not this factor thinking that, well, I go to church so much now, it don't matter if I miss sometimes these things. Did you see that? I think we do. I remember a time years ago where those who were in the church realized how important it was because they didn't hear anything else about God except in their church. When they went Sunday morning, Sunday night, if they had a Wednesday night service, a lot of them did not have Wednesday night service back in those days, but if they had service, that's all they heard, and they got hungry from one service to the next because they had the Word of God, but they needed that direction. They needed to hear something to put them in the direction to study so they could grow and begin to hear the voice of God. Because sometimes they hear a message. Many times a message is heard, and from that message you get something later that was not in the message. Have you ever done that? I've done it many times. I have been places in the last 2 years and hear a message preached somewhere or another, and preaching service I was in, hear a message preached, and from the message that was preached, God gave me another message entirely different, but it came from that message. And I probably never got that message, hadn't heard the message I heard. You know, did you know that? I bet you, if you do any teaching, you know what I'm talking about. You know God uses his word, and when it's really proclaimed, he'll do something to your heart, and it might be that particular thing you didn't need, but it'll lead you to something in turn you did need, and you say, man, I'm so glad I heard that because it led me to where I'm at here at this time. So biblically, a true minister is just one, not by his choice, but by God's commission. And that's something that's hard for us to see today because we've got so many people calling them, said that God called them in the ministry. You know, I've never understood why that God set standards in this book of what a minister should be. He said it. Man didn't set it. I never understood how man, and I've had that happen to me in the last 2 years. People come to me and said, you know, God called me to preach this book. And they didn't come close to lining up what God gave the credentials were. Now, Alicia, I don't understand that. Maybe if God did, I'll be ready to stand corrected one day before him. But why would God set up standards and then all of a sudden not say, well, that standard don't mean anything for this person? If it meant anything for one person, it meant anything for everybody. And so, therefore, we live in an age today, the standards have been changed. And when they change, then we find ourselves going any different ways. There's not a one in here. If you've been saved mighty long today, look around at churches that are coming up and how people are acting about. You can have church about everything. You can have. I'm not just talking though. It's bad enough now to have. You have people who have same-sex churches. You have people who believe. And it's an amazing thing. A lot of things that God has set forth in standards broken now. It doesn't matter where people are married or not married. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, if they transvestite or whatever there is, nothing seems to really matter. Everybody's got a church of their own. Isn't something wrong? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if that's the church, why worry? We just live our life and go to heaven anyhow. Aren't you glad that God preserved us? God has saved us for something to let us know that he is not a Mickey Mouse thing. I thought about that. If the blood of Jesus Christ can pay for our sins, and it can when we believe in him, he can also cause us to be honest and walk right and live for him. And Jesus Christ is not a phony. He is not selling us a bill of goods. He's not telling us just to have dominoes on us some reason, and if it don't work, then I'll let you go your way, but I'll come over here and don't work. And all of a sudden, we're all going a different way. That's not the way he works. This book gives us insight about what we should be as Christians. And I believe with all my heart, down through the years, God has blessed us to try to hold the old path. And I believe until Jesus comes, that's the way it should be. But sometimes it's not easy. There's been many times young folks have come and said, well, they talk with other young folks at different places, and they tell about what happened, how it happened, they tell what happened there, and they say, well, I will never go to this church here. You never have no fun over there. Well, I'll tell you what, I have as much fun as anybody has, all I want to have, and I'd rather have the right kind of fun, and when I get to heaven, then to glorify a body to have it like it ought to be. Until that, though, don't lay aside the things God has said for that purpose. So tonight, I thank the Lord for the fact that he's given us those he's given us. And this afternoon, we're reminiscing again. Of course, we took Brother Rick and him out for lunch today, and we had a good discussion, a lot of things. And it's a joy when you sit down and talk and don't realize the influence you may have on somebody, but see somebody that is a young person come up and still trying his best to stick to the old paths. We got some that have not done that. And to think about it is, it's sad. But at the same time, I'm glad God's in control. And just because we may see someone that may not go biblically right doesn't mean that we should say, well, why we should change. And I pray that God will always protect this place.